Thank you to everyone who serves. I'm just going to cut right into the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 3. If you've been with us, you know something of what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. God's purpose was to bring all things under Christ, Him as head of the church, one new man, Jew and Gentile, bringing us all together. If you've been around for the last few weeks, you might get that. You might understand that. That's His plan. So last week in chapter 2, I talked about what was accomplished. And the walls were torn down. We have one new humanity in Christ, created in Christ. You know, that whole picture of just us coming together in Christ. And then today, chapter 3 is why He did it. And I want to talk about the revealed mystery and that He shows His wisdom through His church. And I want us to read in chapter 3. We'll but beginning at verse 1. He says, "For this reason," what's the reason for everything He's been saying? For that stuff. "I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles," and I don't know what your Bible has in it, but mine's got a dash there. All of a sudden, Paul's like, just a minute here. He's just getting ready to pray. And if you go over to verse 14, you'll see he says it again, "For this reason I kneel before the Father." And it's kind of like he remembered what he was doing. But in verse 2, he goes off on this paragraph, this little chapter here, this portion of scripture that I'm reading. He said, I just need to remind you who I am and how I got here and the mystery of Christ, this amazing gospel that was given to me to preach to the Gentiles and what I'm talking about. And he ends this little verse, because I may not get back to it, in verse 13, and he says, "I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory." So he's just ready to pray. He's been praising God in chapter 1. He's been praying, and he's just ready to get praying again. My imagination is big, but he's in prison, and it's like, just a minute, I got to remind these guys who I am, and the glory and the mystery that God has poured out on my life. And he gives us this paragraph, this chapter. He says, also, I can't help myself, but we always had an elder in Pretoria, and we were blessed. There's 12 couples that led the church there, a very large church, and we had guests coming and friends from all over. And Michael Eaton was one of our favorite, R.T. Kendall's another, many, 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 you name them, we had them come through. And Michael Eaton was this expository of note. He would, you know, sometimes he'd teach a week, and I thought one time I'll steal his notes, and his notes was 4 Greek words on a little piece of paper, and that was a week's worth of, you know, he had a computer brain. And so one of our elders, Pete, we called him Pete Lindeke, he would always say, you know, Michael Eaton, you know, he needed a paragraph, but I'm still on I, Paul. So if I write him today, 12 years later, he's still working on I, Paul. And that's how we are this morning. We're so deep. We're just going to unpack I, Paul. I'm joking. That's a joke. He was not an expository guy, old Pete. He was more like me. Yeah. "For this reason, I..." That's a joke, by the way. I'm telling you a joke. But "the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles." And then he's like, hold on a minute. Let me tell you something. "Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation." I'm going to talk about that mystery for a bit later. "As I have already written briefly, in reading this then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles, heirs together with Israel, members of one body, and share us together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Excuse me. And what I'd love to preach on is just the amazing gift to be able to preach the gospel and the blessing of being able to do that. And I see a few missionaries nodding and a few pastors and former leaders, the privilege of it. And that, anyhow, that's not the message. Although I was less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I get blessed just reading that. And make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. For the ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now through the church, I hope you're getting the points, the mystery and the church is coming, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, here's the third point, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Hallelujah. And he says, I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory. You got to remember, he's in prison. There was people attacking him, attacking the church, saying, well, who's this Paul? I mean, he has big words, but he's this little guy. You can imagine. And he's writing from prison to the church in Ephesus, where he spent 3 years, to his friends, but it's to the church at large, the Gentile and Jewish congregations. And he's saying, hey, don't get discouraged by what's going on. Remember this amazing mystery, this grace that God gave me to preach the gospel. So that's our text this morning. And I want to take a few minutes and just challenge your beautiful, pure memories and minds with the Word of God. So may God bless His holy, infallible Word this morning. So why did Christ... God's purpose was to bring all things under Christ, who is the head of the church, this one new man. Why? First of all, to reveal the mystery. The mystery was revealed. Verse 4, verse 6, he talks about it. Through the gospel, his gospel, the Gentiles, us, would hear the gospel. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this mystery, but I got a couple of verses, just listen. Here in Ephesians, where I just read, he's talking about Paul grounds his authority in revelation, not personal insight. He just makes it clear this is revelation from God. It's received, not discovered. It was given by God. He shared it by the power of the Holy Spirit, and Paul was the one to be able to reveal it and to bring this amazing mystery of Christ and what it means, the salvation and the Word of God reaching out to everyone. And then Colossians chapter 1, first of all, all of these chapters, he mentions this mystery. I don't have time to go and read those verses, but Paul is commissioned to preach that mystery. And the content includes Gentiles receiving Christ himself. All of a sudden, the walls are torn down. There's one man. We all can come in. But this one in Colossians, I just want to take a second to read and make a point. He says, how great of a struggle he has working for these people. And he says, and their heart, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Hallelujah. There's more verses. You can do a word study. You go Google. You'll see the verses where Paul talks about this mystery. But I just wanted to touch that. It's actually a person in whom all the wisdom and the knowledge and the amazing, is in a person, is in Jesus. That's why we preach Christ. That's why we claim him as Lord and Savior, Messiah. He is the one who is sent by God to reveal to us this way to God, to know God. And through him, Paul ends this little paragraph as I started. I'll leave it here. He says, we can approach with confidence. Amen? Freedom. And of all these pictures, he alludes, you know, to the Old Testament and coming into the Holy of Holies. And, you know, the masses were outside. Then you come into the holy place and only those who were bringing the sacrifice. And then you get to that Holy of Holies where just a chief priest could enter and bring, you know, if he wasn't quite up to snuff, the bells would quit ringing and they'd pull him out with a rope because he dropped dead. We have this ability because of Christ to come to the Father, to come into God's presence and to worship like we do and to pray and to know God with freedom and confidence. That should be the picture of our lives, of people who are free and who have confidence in God. We stand before a holy God, but we have confidence, we have freedom, not because of us, but because of what Jesus did. So let's look at it for a minute. First of all, the mystery of Christ is revealed, I said. That's my first point in those verses. Here's the mystery. He says it. I'm just reading his preach. We are heirs together. We are members of one body. We are sharers together in the promises. Like, each of these, man, there's good stuff there. Not just second class, equal. We are sons and daughters. And I asked my son Matthew for permission to, you know, I sometimes think the only reason I have kids was to have sermon illustrations. And then especially adoption. Shoo! That gives you a whole nother chapter of, there's this little boy whose name was Sachaba Kotasung. And I couldn't do it because I couldn't look at it. We have these videos and clips, and Matthew and I were sitting looking at some of them yesterday of Abba House. What a perfect name, eh? Where we found him. God knew him before he was created, but in Abba House. We adopted a precious little boy. So I understand just a tiny taste of to be adopted, to become heirs, to become sons, to become sharers of the promise. And sometimes we want to live like we are orphans, and we're not. We are children of God. We have been adopted, joint heirs. Like, that's what he's been saying in Ephesians. He's going to get to tell us how to live. Like, as a preacher, I want to get to the next chapters of Ephesians because he says, live holy and walk, you know, eyes open, come on. But he's still in this place of trying to explain to them the mystery, the unbelievable, beyond our imagination. Like, if I could sing, I can only imagine. Like, what we're going to see when we get to heaven. We'll understand, but we get little tastes of it along the way. And so this is where I ask for permission from Matthew, is we can remember going with the social workers to the court in South Africa. It's very official, and, you know, I think they're even wearing wigs. They were. It's like this old British, and we're standing there. And, you know, you feel like, whew. And then the judge is deciding. These vitties, and, you know, these white guys adopting this little South African guy. Are we worthy? Are you like, whew. And we're standing there, and the judge says, after his little speech, his name shall now be Rutten. But the line I love the best, as though born of you. Imagine the power that was given to us by the court, taking a little baby out of the Abba House, taking him home for the rest of our lives. The power of that, and the responsibility of that, and the scariness of that. We've always joked, sorry, Matthew, but, you know, you're basically one step off the street coming into our house. It was just chaos, four kids, life. But just that, it's just the tiniest picture of what God did. when he chose us. Matthew's a little boy. I'll bring those pictures. I'll show you those videos. Just this little guy had no decision in it. He was among 23 or 4 others in the home. That's why I had to get Lori out of there, because we would have had 23 or 24 kids. Hey. And we said, no, this one. And I've shared my story so many times when we fought with immigration to get him to Canada, to get his permanent residence, to become a citizen, all that stuff. We had to sponsor him. I remember banging on the glass in the immigration office in Pretoria, because you do know how hard those things, about 3 inches of glass, and we're trying to talk, and I'm hollering, and the people in the room are saying, just get this guy out of here. He's going to destroy it for all of us. And she said, you can't go to Canada because you've already applied for permanent, so you can't get a temporary, and it's all this stuff, and we were planning to go home for Christmas. This whole thing, this little guy. And I just remember saying through the glass, this one is different. I don't care about all these. All the stories, and everybody's going to try to immigrate. I don't care. This one is different. This is my son. And we're going to Canada, and we're going to have Christmas. But the system. Fix the system. Make a long story short. She's okay. I shouldn't do this. Because in reality, she's telling me, us, once you land in Canada, you never have to come back. I'm like, we have a house here. We got a life here. But thank you. And based on our word that we'd come back, she allowed it. But I just like, what has God done for us? And that's the mystery that Paul is preaching about. He says they are joint heirs. They have become part of the family, members of the body, shares together in the promises. Like, man, you know, we have a powerful inheritance to leave to our children. Kids, they were joking about it this week, and I'm going to make them suffer. My will says, being of sound mind, I spent it all. Yeah. But whatever the inheritance is, Matthew, Melanie, Kyle, Nicole share in it. That's what the inheritance means. That's what it means when this mystery of the gospel that Peter, Paul, was given the responsibility of, which is Christ. And he talks about the amazing gift to be able to preach that gospel and the joy of that. I want that to sink in this morning. You're not here by accident. There's no second class. There's no, well, there's those and these, and well, what about this? We are heirs with Christ by grace. That doesn't mean sloppy grace. That doesn't mean do whatever you want grace. Doesn't mean everybody's in grace. It means everybody is welcome. And his grace is sufficient. But we have to come to him. And we have to ask for that grace. And we have to walk in it. And that's the message that Paul's preaching. The gospel, the good news, that we can come to the Father, approach him with confidence and with freedom because of Christ. And he welcomes them all, Jew, Gentile, black, white, Palestinian, Israeli. They're all welcome. You know, he's preaching in a condition, you know, the closest I could get to it is a Palestinian and a Jewish man from Israel together, and he's trying to make one body out of them. That's what Christ did. He dealt with our sin, he dealt with who we were, and he adopted us into his family, just as though born of him. I love that. We were lost. You cannot get saved or found until you understand how lost we are. And he came to rescue us. And we cry, Abba, Father, because of it. The second thing he wanted to make plain in this chapter is how this mystery was to be worked out. He says, through the church. Next slide. doesn't matter because it's just one line anyhow. The walls torn down and one new humanity created in Christ. Amen? I think you're a slide behind me, but it doesn't matter. Go to the next one. Just see what's coming up. This is what he did. Next one. Here we go. Next one. Sorry. Now, makes plain how this mystery was to be worked out. Through his church, his wisdom is displayed. Amen? The wisdom of God would be made known. Hallelujah. How? Or to who? To principalities and powers in heavenly places and according to his purposes. To ho-ho his purposes. That's for my wife. I just see this. Oh, I'm sorry, honey. She says, check your spelling. Check your spelling. That daggum computer did it again. At least you made you read it. Sorry, honey. I'll work on that. So what's going on? Paul's been talking about us as individuals, the Jew and the Gentile. They're being brought together. They're heirs. They're sharers. They're part of the family. They're part of the body. They're members of this body. Now, he says this is why he's doing this, is to show his power through the church. So he goes from the individual to us. We, first of all, we are like these workmanship, this masterpiece is what, you know, we've been talking about in the chapters earlier. That we have been made for great things in Jesus, and he knows who we are and our identity and all those things. And then he says, now you bring all that together and to show the wisdom and the power of God through the church, through us together. Hallelujah. Now, we've already honored, what's my good friend's name? Jeremy and Roanne. A slip of the tongue is no fault of a great mind. Seriously, no one has an excuse in this house. I'm not feeling good. Go talk to Jeremy and Roanne. I'm a little bit tired. Go talk to Jeremy and Roanne. Don't come to me. Yeah, but I might be sick by Thursday. Go talk to Jeremy and Roanne. Like, yeah, but. So I could start going through individuals in this house, and many of you have been around for many, many years. Suzanne, you always just have a glow, a shine, a light bulb over your head. I remember you coming into that old shag rug house. You're a trophy of what God can do as an individual. Just the testimony of God's goodness. Hallelujah. I could talk all morning. Who's next? Like, just look. By God's grace, you could just take individuals of people and what God's done in their lives. Given hope, salvation, healing, marriage, children, blessing, whatever. Like, forgiveness, goodness, strength through the most, just a trophy. That's the individuals. Now let's talk about the church. What does a church say to the world? We can get along. We can forgive each other. We can pray for each other. We can help each other. You want me to start telling stories of what people in this church have done for other people in this church and what this church has done for other churches and what this church is doing right now for individuals, for people, for the nation, for the kingdom? That's what Jesus brought us together for, to reveal his power, his glory, his wisdom to principalities and powers, and to the world of what he's done on the cross. Here's a line. You need to write this one down. This right here, us right here, proves the cross works. Proves it beyond a doubt. salvation, forgiveness, the love of God, the power of God to heal. Let's talk about healing, to deliver, to set free, to lift up the burdens, to bring us into his family, to adopt us. He's, you know, like I said about Matthew, we chose him. We chose him. I know that sounds so cliche. A room full. A country full. In those days, we were working all over Africa. There was, you can make up any number you want, 300 million orphans because of AIDS at that time. That was back then. I don't know what's going on now. And I've told you the story when we went to a conference for adoption and AIDS. I forget, I think it was around AIDS because that was the big thing back then. And we went up to Zambia and we were meeting with pastors and leaders and we're trying to discuss what in the world, at that time people thought you got AIDS from having a bath or a shower or what. They didn't know how this stuff was going on. And we're meeting and I was sitting with three or four pastors in our group because we all broke into groups. And in our group, I don't want to lie, but if it's wrong, forgive me because it's a mind problem. But of four or five of us in that little group, in just our group, because there was many, hundreds of pastors, many, many leaders, we were in groups. In our little group, I think it was 27 kids were adopted in out of those four or five pastors and us. One had 13, a pastor from Malawi. They understood adoption. They understood what the church is about. They understood the power of God to bring people. Like, it wasn't normal for Africans to adopt kids. We're Abba House, the ladies who worked there, the South African ladies, the black South African ladies, would rather pretend to their family that they got pregnant outside of marriage and disappear for a while than show up with a baby. Because that was more acceptable than to adopt, because you're breaking the bloodline, you're breaking the inheritance and the whole stories. And we're sitting with pastors with many, 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 many adopted kids. And you think, okay, that's the glory of the church. That's the power of God. And it's not my sermon, but I'm telling you, it's the church that's doing things in the world today. You hear good things, you hear good adoption stories, you hear good colleges, universities. I don't care. You go back in history, even though they despise it in America, in our parts of the world today, it was Christians. It was the gospel that changed the nation, that raised up all these institutions and hospitals and universities and everything. It's the liberal theologian. It's those deconstructionist people built nothing. They only can come and attack. I've had people attack our church. What is this? You know, I'm afraid, whatever. I'm like, okay, there's a church here to talk about. What have you built? Nothing. You're miserable. You're a schnook. I don't know what other word to use. The church, you and me, think about it. We show the amazing wisdom of God to the world. That's a responsibility. That's a job. And how we live it out and how we walk it out. I like this example. I don't know who I stole it from. Doesn't matter. If somebody says something worth stealing, then we steal it. You remember that big, big painting of the face of Christ at Camp Nakaman, at the camp? This big, if you get back, it's an amazing picture of Jesus with a crown of thorns, I think. Big, huge, bigger than that screen. But when you walk up close, it's made up of dozens and dozens of squares of individual leaders, world leaders, good and bad, faces. Remember that picture? So that's kind of the picture I'm trying to talk about here. When you come up close, you You get an example of the grace of God. A trophy in heaven one day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You just this morning you were hugging me and thanking, saying how beautiful it is to come to church and to worship. You're one of those trophies. Serious. True. Yes. And then you back up. And you see a couple of faces, some more faces, and then you see the big picture, the church. And then you back up some more, and you take the churches of Edmonton, and then the churches of Canada. I mean the church, the real church, the church of Jesus. And then you go worldwide. What a picture. King of kings and Lord of lords. That's what the picture is called in Camp Nakaman. And it's made up of faces of kings and queens and leaders. And that's the church. We are the church. And we represent the power, the wisdom, the majesty, the amazing power of God. And we declare it to the ends of the universe. Principalities and powers. We put it in their face. Look what Jesus is doing. I used to do lots of big meetings, and people say, why do you do big meetings? Because I love it, for one thing. It's way easier to preach to 10,000, 100,000 than to this group, because it's just like... But what I used to love is we'd go into a village, a small town in Tanzania or South Africa, wherever, and we'd bring together all the churches. All the Christians would come out. They loved our band. I just saw pictures of you two in Istres, in Soshunguve, in that little tin shack. Yes, both of you. I was getting all nostalgic with pictures of Matthew and old stuff I got off my computer. What was I saying? It was powerful. The band. Ding, 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 ding. The whole village would come. When Kyle was a little guy standing beside me in the front seat driving through village after village, we're going somewhere as a family. He said, Dad, you should stop here. This whole village would get saved. That's all he saw. When we had set up our band on the ground, we had 24-volt equipment with the truck and five of us, five bands, us. The whole village would come and we'd see people saved every day, hundreds, hundreds. Then we would go back and work with the churches. Anyhow, just the power of the gospel ringing out. Sometimes I get tired of my brother Brian and his stories. Because if I can talk about 1,000, he can talk about 10,000. Oh, that's just church leaders. Okay, good. Yeah, yeah. Well, do you know something? In Edmonton, so-and-so came to church on time. Praise Jesus. I'm not making mock because I know the fight, folks, to just serve God when there's low winds, you know, that sailing in quiet winds. It takes, when the winds blow, it's easy. But just to be faithful to God our whole life, we just declare to the world, Jesus is alive. And every time you say no to the devil, he tempts you, he comes with some stupid thing, you're tempted, you say, no, devil. You're just proving the power of the resurrection, power of what Jesus did. I'm enjoying myself too much. Let's end. The third point, I think there's a slide. In him, I can't read that anymore. In him we may approach God. I love this one. With confidence and with freedom. I got to shorten this. Think of the Old Testament. I don't know if you've ever got into the book of Leviticus. We just went through it in our Bible reading again. Man, it was a bloody mess. Burning fat, guts, throwing blood everywhere. Just read it. Blood had to be shed. You know, you talk about covenant. That was Rory, our friend's story, too. You know, covenant of marriage. He said, we should get a calf and just cut that thing in half, guts and all, and bring the two together in the covenant. This is what it means. This is like serious we're talking about here. But you read through the Old Testament what it meant, what it took to deal with sin, to forgive sin. It couldn't take it away. It could only cover it. Looking forward, it could only deliver for a time. The blood had to be shed. And now in the New Testament, we come because of the blood of Jesus, once and for all, delivered for the saints. Hallelujah. That message of the grace of God, that Jesus poured out his blood to take our sins away. Amen? As far as the east is from the west, deal with it, forgive it. And now, with confidence, how's your confidence when you come to God? Do you have confidence? Do you feel like a favored son, a favored daughter of God? Or are you still a worm? You know, don't make me preach Pete's message. We come with confidence and with freedom to the throne of God. Hallelujah. So you think about the Old Testament, what it took, and now today what we can do. We can come with confidence, with freedom. Just those two words. God, I pray that that would reach hearts this morning in this house. Freedom. You know, many times we put fear on one another. We put, it's the devil, because nobody's looking. You know, should I go forward to pray for a need or give my heart to Jesus? You know, hearts start pounding. You know, it's the work. God is working. And the enemy's also like, no, don't, you'll be embarrassed. Like, they'll think you're really bad. They'll think, nobody's thinking nothing. It's like my brother George, you know, when you're young, you're worried about what everybody's thinking. And then you get older, you don't care what anybody's thinking. Then you just get really old, you realize nobody was even thinking about you. It's like, we just come to Jesus. And if you knew my life, you probably wouldn't even be in this church. But if I knew yours, I wouldn't want you in the church. But Jesus has a grace and this mystery that Paul was a steward of to share the gospel so that it would reach you and me. And it has. Hallelujah. And then lastly, think, you know, not only the Old Testament, think of all the effort of religion to try to reach God. Religion is terrible. It's terrible. It tries to replace Jesus. Well, you understand what I mean when I say religion? Like systems of man, like this is how, you know, you do this, and it just kills you. And God says, come. Come. I've lavished my, like, I don't know what else God can do other than the cross to pour out his good life for us so that we could be saved. And then he says, come. Man, no wonder Paul gets excited. And then he ends this chapter and he says, hey, don't get discouraged because of my sufferings for you. You might go to jail. You might be despised, but I'm telling you, the inheritance and to be part of the church, that church, is worth it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Ben, why don't you come? And I believe God wants to look at individuals, and then he's also working on us as a church. And we stand together and we encourage each other. Welcome.